Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So we're going to look ahead now to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead. I'm joined in the studio by producer and director Brian Redden and on the line by freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry. And great to have you with us. But Aoife, before we start talking about what you've been watching, I just wanted to ask you about Quincy Jones, the US music producer who has died at the age of 91. He worked with some of the biggest names in music, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at all of the obituaries, they nearly all of them use the word Titan, because that's what he was. I mean, he's someone, he lived till he was 91, started off making music when he was a teenager, you know, was involved in, you know, being friends with people involved in the civil rights movement, like Martin Luther King, was an African-American man who, you know, really broke barriers for people in the States and went on, you know, worked with people like Ray Charles, who he befriended when they were both teenagers, Frank Sinatra. And he also, you know, worked with Michael Jackson on three huge albums, Thriller, Off the Wall and Bad, which really in many ways had just such a massive impact on pop. And his name, I think, is just so quintessential in terms of music and his arrangement, his production. He also was involved in composing for films like The Color Purple, and he also was involved with having his own production company, which gave us The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So I mean, this is a man who knew how to connect people within the various entertainment industry kind of sectors, and he was around for so many different kind of generations of music and really put a stamp on it. Huge loss for music, really.
We'll take a quick blast now of one of his most famous songs. This is It's My Party, produced by Quincy Jones. It was a number one hit for Leslie Gore and became her signature song. That's It's My Party, produced by Quincy Jones, who has died at the age of 91. Now, Brian, we're going to start with a film that's getting a lot of attention. It features our very own Paul Mescal. It's Gladiator 2. We'll take a quick clip before we have a chat about it.
This is war! Real war!
The odds are against you.
The odds are always against me.
A lot of hype around this one.
A lot of hype around it, and a major role for as you say, our own Paul Mescal. So it's out soon enough, Friday the 15th of November. It'll be in cinemas. Oddly, it's opening in Europe before it opens in America. I don't know why that is, but it'll be on Friday the 15th of November. So this has been 24 years in the making, 24 years since the first Gladiator film. And the first Gladiator film obviously was a huge success with Russell Crowe, directed by Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott's back as the director of this sequel. Shortly after the first film came out, they were already talking about making a sequel of it, but you know, obviously Russell Crowe's character dies in the end of Gladiator, so what do you do with that? So there was lots of talk about doing a movie that was going to be set in the afterlife, you know, that Maximus was in the, you know, the heavens of the Roman gods and fighting up there, and all that was talk about that for years, and eventually that got scrapped. But there is a link to Maximus in this sequel. So in the first film, Connie Nielsen plays a character called Lucilla. She's the kind of former lover of Maximus, played by Russell Crowe, and also the sister of the Joaquin Phoenix character. So she has a young son in the first film. I don't even remember him, but a young son, and he makes a small appearance, and he's only not in it for very long. He's a young fella. He's kind of runs out into the arena and he's in awe of Maximus, but there is a hint that he might be the son of Maximus.
So they watched the film again and they went, ah, him, that fella.
So they must have so they're looking at it going, right, he's dead. What do we do? How do we do this? Let's make him a ghost. That's not going to work. Let's go into the realms. And they go, nah, that's not going to work. So they go, aha, Lucius is his name. So let's make him his son. So that's what they did. So this film takes place 24 years later. This Lucius, the son of Maximus, played by Paul Mescal, is in exile in North Africa. He's living a very happy life with his wife and kids when a Roman general, played by the great Pedro Pascal, comes along, kills his wife and kids. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's almost the same plot as the last one. He's enslaved. He becomes a gladiator. He's trained by a former slave. He's trained by a former slave played by Denzel Washington, who also has a grudge against the Empire, and he becomes a gladiator to fight back. So essentially, it's the same plot.
Okay. Okay. Right? Well, look,
it looks great.
It looks great and huge buzz around it. And huge buzz around it. For Paul's sake, that it's a world beater.
I mean, it's going to be a hit. It's cost $300 million to make this, but every penny's on the screen. I mean, he's fighting a rhino at one point in the Gladiator ring.
We'll all go to see that one. That's Gladiator 2. Aoife, there's a lot of buzz around this next one. It won the Palme d'Or. It's called Anora.
Yeah, I'm so excited about seeing this. I wasn't able to get to see it yet this weekend. And it's just one, if you go online, look at what anybody who's into movies is talking about. They are talking about Anora. And the director is Sean Baker, who people might be familiar with, like, The Florida Project, for example, one of his films that came out a couple of years ago, or Red Rocket, which came out in 2021. He's someone that people have always had very kind of positive words about, but he's never quite broken into the mainstream. And now people are talking about Anora as if it could potentially win an Oscar. And the key to it really is Mikey Madison. She is the star of it. She stars as a young exotic dancer who ends up being entangled in a kind of a Pretty Woman, you know, idea of a plot with a young man who's a young Russian man that she meets when she's out working one night. He, it turns out, is the son of a Russian oligarch, and when his family find out that the two of them have not only gone to Las Vegas during this week but also got married, they're not very happy, and they send a couple of thugs to try and deal with the situation. Somebody that I was reading, a particular critic, said that the film makes Pretty Woman look like a Disney movie, so this isn't some kind of light fare, even though there's a lot of energy to it. And there are, according to the critics, a lot of kind of darker moments in it too. But Mikey Madison, you know, stars as this Brooklyn young woman. You can see in the trailer she's loads of energy. She was in films like Scream and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She's really on the up, and now people are creating this big Oscar buzz about her. So I think really, if you want to be up on that Oscar conversation, you've got to go see Anora and, you know, figure out what you think about it. And it's so interesting to see Sean Baker in this role too, to see him getting that Palme d'Or and saying, could he get an Oscar nod as well himself?
Well, that's Anora. And the next one, Brian, is Juror Number 2. Now, this is directed by Clint Eastwood, which is extraordinary in it of itself because he's 94.
94, yeah. You're talking about Quincy Jones there at 91. So there's Clint Eastwood, 94, and he's still working. Now, people say this might be his last film as a director. He's directed 40 movies, as well as acting in a lot more than that. But he's directed 40 films, and people are saying this will be his swan song. But in fact, I saw him just tweeting out there yesterday that he was back in his office reading scripts for his next movie. So I doubt he's going to give up anytime soon. I mean, 94 years of age. Now, this wouldn't have been very taxing for him because most of it is set in a jury room, so it's not like a big action movie or anything like that. But it's really a good, solid, dependable film. It's out there now at the moment. It's called Juror Number 2. It's not a sequel to Juror Number 1. The Juror Number 2 character is played by Nicholas Hoult. Now, this sounds like a complete spoiler, but I'll tell you what the plot is. And it sounds like I'm spoiling the whole movie, but in fact, this is in the trailer. The whole story is given to you in the trailer, and it's kind of interesting. So Nicholas Hoult plays Juror Number 2. So he's on a jury of a murder trial. The murder is, it's set in Georgia, which is kind of important because in Georgia you can be tried for murder if you kill someone in a car, with a car, so vehicular manslaughter, so that you can be done for murder for that, and that's really important. So it's set in Georgia. This guy has a row with his girlfriend in a bar one night. The girlfriend actually is played by Francesca Eastwood, one of Clint's many children, and she goes off home. She walks down the road. It's a wet and rainy night. The boyfriend goes after her, hits her with the car, kills her. Or does he? Right? So he's up for murder. Now, in the jury, Nicholas Hoult doesn't want to be there. He's a recovering alcoholic. His wife is about to give birth to their first child. Turns out, as the trial begins, he realises he was in the bar that night. And he left the bar that night in the car to drive home. And he hit something on the way home. And he thinks he hit a deer. But now he's thinking, oh my God, was it a deer I hit or was it this woman? So he now believes that he might have done it. So that's essentially the premise. Okay. So what you get is a really twisty-turny courtroom drama about guilt, about owning up to guilt, about the US justice system, about how far one guy will go to protect his family. And it's really, it's a lot of fun. It's really interesting, twisty and turny, great characters, great actors. And Eastwood is a solid, dependable director. You know what you're getting every time you go and see one of his movies.
Juror Number 2, out in cinemas now. Small Things Like These is out in the cinema. Well worth a look if anyone hasn't seen it over the weekend. I know lots of people went out to see it. I've seen it myself. It's a really good movie. It stars Cillian Murphy. But I'm going to jump now to the small screen because Sharon Horgan's Bad Sisters Season 2 is coming up next week, isn't it? Aoife, you've seen it all, but you're not allowed to tell us what's in it.
I have. I'm not allowed to say much at all, but I will say, if you've seen the trailer for it, which is out there and anybody can watch now, that gives, not doesn't give away loads of what's happening, but it gives you a really good sense, I think, of what you can expect. So rest assured, we'll stick to what we can see in the trailer, but that does tell you that, for example, you do have a new character played by Fiona Shaw. She plays a woman called Angelica, who is absolutely amazing. She's in turns very funny, but also very dark. And you, if you've seen season one, you might know that it's based on an existing series, a Belgian series called Clan. And so it kind of wrapped up in a way at the end of season one. And when we heard that Sharon Horgan was coming back at season two, I suppose the question was, well, where can you go with this story about the five Garvey sisters when you know what happened with the main plot in season one has already kind of been wrapped up? And actually, she really manages to kind of seamlessly go to a second season. She brings you back to these five Garvey sisters. So they're played by herself, Sharon Horgan, Eve Hewson, Eva Bertisil, Anne-Marie Duff, Sarah Green. They're a great kind of gang of different sisters who love and hate each other in different ways. They have that real sister relationship down, and she's able to delve a bit more into those relationships, into their family lives, while also giving us those kind of juicy plot points that we like and love from season one, which you'll see in the trailer, for example. The sisters are standing around a car, they're opening the boot of the car, because there's a lot of trepidation there, and you're wondering, uh-oh, what have they got themselves mixed up in season two? And what I really love, I think, about this season and the whole series, really, is that you get that real kind of insight into the characters as people. So it's not just about the juicy plot points, it's about their lives. You have women, you know, the sisters are aged from in their 30s to the very early 50s, and I think you get a really good sense of what it's like to be a woman in those different eras throughout the season.
Well, that's
which
on
is great.
Apple TV on the 13th of November. That's Bad Sisters season two. Now, probably time for one more, Brian. Do you want to go to Shrinking, or where do you want to go?
Day of the Jekyll.
Day of the Jekyll
looks really good. So it starts November the 7th. It's on Now TV and Sky. Day of the Jekyll, a very famous novel by Frederick Forsyth from 1971, was made into a film in 1973 with Edward Fox and our own Cyril Cusack. It's basically the story of an assassin known as the Jekyll. In the original novel, also made into a terrible film, by the way, Bruce Willis, but anyway, we'll forget about that one. But the original Day of the Jekyll, he's trying to assassinate Charles de Gaulle. Do you remember the film? It was a great film, really tense, real serious thriller.
Day of the Jekyll.
Oh,
but I'll probably
cracker.
Just skip that now and watch this one.
Yeah, so this one is a 10-part series where they basically take that original premise, but they update it. So he's not trying to kill Charles de Gaulle. We're not quite sure who he's trying to kill. But the Jekyll is now played by Eddie Redmayne.
Who I heard is brilliant in this role.
Apparently he's superb in it. Absolutely superb in it. And Lashana Lynch plays this investigator who's trying to track him down and find him. He's a master of disguise. It's set in about, you know, 10 different countries, shot all over Europe. Looks fantastic. Great Irish guys behind it. Brian Kirk from Belfast directs it, and Ronan Bennett, also from Belfast, writes it.
Is it out now?
It's out on Now TV on November the 7th.
Okay, that's the Day of the Jekyll with Eddie Redmayne, who's supposed to be just like cold, chilling.
He looks a lot like Edward Fox, actually. Edward Fox played the Jekyll. He's a ringer for him. Looks exactly like him.
We'll look
but he's cold, calculating assassin.
Thank you very much, Brian and Ethan.